Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, The First Step in God Realization, Text Number 29. Indradayo bhava ahur sraha.
Indradayo bhava ahur sraha.
Karno disha shrotram amushya sabdaha.
Karno disha shrotram amushya sabdaha.
Na satya dasro paramasya nase.
Na satya dasro paramasya nase.
Indra-adayo,
Indra-adayo,
demigods,
demigods,
headed by the heavenly king Indra,
headed by the heavenly king Indra,
Indra-adayo.
Indra-adayo.
Okay, all right, we already said that. That's right. Bahavaha,
Bahavaha,
arms,
Ahu,
Ako,
Ushraha,
Ushraha. The demigods.
Demigods.
Karno.
Karno.
The ears.
The ears.
Dichaha.
Dichaha.
The four directions.
The four directions.
Shrotram.
Shrotram.
The sense of hearing.
The sense of hearing.
Amushya,
Amushya,
of the Lord,
of the Lord.
Shabdaha,
Shabdaha,
sound,
sound.
Na satya dasro,
Na satya dasro,
the demigods known as the Ashwini Kumaras,
the demigods known as the Ashwini Kumaras.
Paramasya,
Paramasya,
of the Supreme,
of the Supreme.
Na se,
Na se,
nostrils,
nostrils.
We have the word nasal. Nasal. Nase. Granaha.
Granaha.
The sense of smell.
The sense of smell.
Asya.
Asya.
Of him.
Of him.
Gandaha.
Gandaha.
Fragrance.
Fragrance.
Mukham.
Mukham.
The mouth.
Mouth.
Agnihi.
Agnihi.
Fire.
Fire.
Idhaha.
Idhaha.
Blazing.
Blazing.
His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The ten directional sides are his ears. In the Western world, we've got the four directions. In the translation, we've got the ten directions. Anyway. North, south, east, west. How do we get ten directions out of four? Yeah, that's eight. So it was, yep, up and down, that's right. So not just two-dimensional, but three-dimensional directions, up and down and around and about. His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The ten-directional sides are his ears. And physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the two Ashwini Kumaras. And material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. Purport. The description of the gigantic form of the personality of Godhead, made in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is further explained here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The description in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, text 30, runs as follows. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people in your blazing mouths and covering all the universe by your immeasurable rays. Scorching the worlds, you are manifest. Scorching the worlds. Yeah, you know, scorching the world you are manifest. In that way, Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study for the student of the Bhagavad Gita. Both of them are the science of Krishna, the absolute truth, and so they are interdependent. The conception of the Virata Purusha, or the gigantic form of the Supreme Lord, is said to include all the dominating demigods, as well as the dominated living beings. Even the minutest part of a living being is controlled by the empowered agency of the Lord. Since the demigods are included in the gigantic form of the Lord, worship of the Lord, whether in his gigantic material conception or in his eternal transcendental form as Lord Sri Krishna, also appeases the demigods and all the other parts and parcels, as much as watering the root of a tree distributes energy to all of the tree's other parts. Consequently, for a materialist also, worship of the gigantic, of the universal gigantic form of the Lord leads one to the right path. One need not risk being misled by approaching many demigods for fulfillment of different desires. The real entity is the Lord himself, and all others are imaginary, for everything is included in him only. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmahe Shri Gurude Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadala Mahiyam Tadati Svapadam Tikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langayate Girim Yatri Patamam Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So the demigods are the arms of whom the leader is Indra. Indra Adi, or Adayaha, is the beginning with Indra. The demigods are the arms. The ten directional sides are his ears. What does that mean?
There's no place where we will talk and not be heard.
Yes. Whatever we we say, is heard by the Lord. I mean, basically, he's everywhere. Right? All pervading. Savasya Chaham Riddhi Sani Vishto. He's situated within the heart of all living entities. But not only within the heart, all around also. As mentioned here. Physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the two Ashwini Kumaras. Na Satya. Na Satya Dasro. Na Satya. What does Na Satya? Na Asatya. Nothing untrue in the Ashwini Kumaras. They were born. The twins with horses' heads. Demigods with horses' heads. Sons of the sun god Vivaswan. So they're his nostrils. I guess a horse has got a big nose, right? In fact, their head is basically nose. Is that right? So it's appropriate that the horse is the nose of the universal form, the feature. Material fragrance is his sense of smell. Material fragrance. The fragrances that we get. And the sense of smell of the universal form. His mouth is the blazing fire. Which is interesting because this is the most fearful feature of the personality of Godhead, especially as it's described in the Bhagavad Gita. The 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes the manifestation of the universal form of the Lord. And that form basically terrified Arjuna. Terrified him. You know, Arjuna's relationship with Krishna is as a friend. And so that relationship is very congenial. And somewhat relaxed. But when Arjuna saw the universal form, and especially this feature of the Kala Rupa, the form of time. And the form of time, basically what happens when time marches forward, what happens? Everything is destroyed. Everything is destroyed. You know, unless one is a very, very, very advanced transcendentalist, then one doesn't look forward to one's death. Huh? Anybody here looking forward to die? Please raise your hands if you're looking forward to die. Nobody. Unless one's very, very advanced. You know, there is, and Maharaj Parikshit is a good example. of somebody who was about to die, but gave up everything. Gave up everything enthusiastically. Instead of hanging on, you know, Prabhupada tells the story of the wealthy businessman that he knew in, was it Ahmedabad? Allahabad, where Prabhupada was a chemist. Right? And one wealthy businessman was, Prabhupada tells the story, was pleading with the doctors, please just give me 4 more years so I can complete my plans. I just need 4 more years. Can't you give me 4 more years? As Prabhupada says, you can't even give 4 seconds. Or if they give you, you know, 4 hours longer to live or 4 days longer to live, they say, oh, what a wonderful triumph. We increased his life by 4 days. But it's inevitable. Death is sure for everyone. So this is a very bewildering and astonishing vision that Arjuna has. Bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. This is in the Bhagavad Gita. My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods. So Prabhupada says this, the Bhagavad Gita is further explained here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here we have it: Indra Adayo Bahava. All the demigods, the administrators of universal affairs. So, you know, the managers, if you like, the manipulators, orchestrators, or Prabhupada says in the purport here, the empowered agency of the Lord. Even the minutest part of a living being is controlled by the empowered agency of the Lord. So we think we're doing so many things, but actually the functions of the body are controlled by the demigods. It's explained in later on in the Bhagavatam. More detailed description. So our breathing, our digestion, the moving of the arms and all of the blinking of our eyelids, all of these things are actually controlled by other forces or other... controllers, empowered agents of the Lord. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths, eyes, expanded everywhere without limit. I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning. All expansive. All being seen in one place by Arjuna. This is the wonder, the opulence of this Virat Rupa of Krishna. That he's able to reveal himself and all the features of the universe which is situated within him in one place. You know, this is inconceivable. It is not possible to conceive of these features and characteristics. It is not possible to witness them. But Krishna can provide us the vision by his potency. It's not possible for that. We're the Anu and he is the Vibhu. We're the small and he is the big. It's not possible for the small to know the big without the big revealing himself. in a way that's comprehensible, is appreciable, approachable by the minute. And the response from Arjuna is fear. Or what does it say here? Bewilderment and astonishment. This is one of the, you know, ordinarily Arjuna's relationship with Krishna is one of friendship. But upon seeing the ghastly manifestation of the universal form, he's relishing this secondary rasa of astonishment. Fear comes later, actually. Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence, right? Spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs and discs. You know, you see that the picture of the universal form, and it's just got all of these heads. All in various forms, decorated. Quite amazing. I remember the first time I saw that picture was actually it was on a cover of a record album, and it was by Jimi Hendrix, and Jimi Hendrix took Lord Vishnu's picture off and put his own head on there. Hare Krishna. You know, the revelation of the universal form is to teach us that no ordinary person is God. Right? We may be equal to God in terms of quality, eternal, knowledgeable, or in our original spiritual form. But we may be in quality like God, the same as God, but that doesn't make us equal in all respects. And so this manifestation of the universal form, Krishna revealing his universal form, is to teach that, you know, unless you can reveal this form, then you can't claim to be God. No ordinary person can reveal this. You know, you may be good at playing an electric guitar, right? But that doesn't make you God. People will worship you, right? Prabhupada said this is the nature of the demons. They'll find somebody to worship. Oh, you play the guitar, you must be God. And then the foolish guitar player thinks, yes, I am God. Huh? Everybody says I'm God, so therefore I must be God. I play the guitar so well. And so then, you know, he takes the picture of God and puts his own head on it. Foolish. And, you know, God doesn't die, you know, choking on his own vomit. This is not God. You know, one shouldn't, and you know, this point is mentioned here. Even the demigods, who are demigod means like God, right? They have potencies and powers there, as is mentioned here. And we mentioned this is a very, and I've mentioned this before many times, and probably mention it very many times in the future. Because this is a message that Srila Prabhupada continuously presents, systematically presents, that the demigods, whilst they may be as good as God and even worshipable, right, because of their empowered presence, their empowered position, they're not the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, the origin or the original, the source of everything, the maintainer and ultimately the destroyer, as demonstrated by the Virat Rupa or the Virat Purush. They're empowered agents of the Lord, and so like God, but they're not God, the original, the maintainer, the destroyer. So you are the supreme primal objective. What does primal mean? Primal. The original. Yeah. Or the beginning, you could say. When you go to school, what's the first level of schooling that we go to? Huh? Yeah, primary school. At least when we went to kids, went to school as kids. Before primary school, now there's kindergarten. Before that, there's daycare. Huh? But you know, really, the beginning of education is the primary. Yes, come in. No. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. Everything is resting within Him, or everything rests upon Him. Mata parataram nanyet kamchit. Was it kamchit dasti jananjaya? What's the next line? Mani guna ivas. I didn't hear any of that. Sutre mani guna iva. Isn't it? Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. This idea of everything resting within. He's the ultimate resting place of all the universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. Yet he remains looking the youngest. He's the oldest, but not an old man. Navayovanamcha. Always youthful. We should keep that in mind. Even though he's the oldest, he doesn't get old like we do and then die. As do all of the demigods. You know, we can see in this description, we can understand, as is mentioned, we'll come to it. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion. This is Arjuna speaking, seeing. You are without origin, middle or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms, and the sun and moon are your eyes. So Prabhupada makes a point here that the basic information is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Short description. But now in the Srimad Bhagavatam we're getting a more detailed, developed understanding of the Virat Purush or the Virat Rupa. Bhagavad Gita is the primer, is the beginning of instruction for us. So much information in the Bhagavad Gita. When I used to visit my friend's house in Adelaide, I used to see he'd have one of those, you know, these book stands with the wooden book stand, and in the book stand, he'd keep a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And I used to see it. I think, wow, look at that book. I was very attracted. And I used to think, wow, that's a big book. 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Then I saw the Srimad Bhagavatam. I thought, how many are we going to read that? the Bhagavatam is the expansion of the Bhagavad Gita in many respects. I said there's more in the Srimad Bhagavatam than is in the Bhagavad Gita. We don't get an intimate understanding of all of the relationships that Krishna has with his devotees in the Bhagavad Gita. We get an inkling, paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya chaduskritam. We get an introduction of how the Lord protects his devotees and how he appears to please his devotees, but we don't see the full manifestation of that until we get to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is a relationship and a systematic development or a systematic development of the understanding of the philosophical principles, beginning with the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. You are without origin, middle or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth. So that's described here. Agnir idha. Sorry, mukam agnir idha. The blazing fire coming from the mouth of the universal form is burning the entire universe. You know, one of the questions that Dharmaraj asked Maharaj Yudhisthira is, what's the news? You heard this? What's the news? And you know what the news is? Everybody is getting fried. Right? We're all in the frying pan at varying stages of being cooked. That heat is this fire coming from the mouth of the Lord in the form of the Kala Rupa, the form of time that will eventually destroy us all. Will all be destroyed by the Kala Rupa. Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O Great One, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. Because there's nowhere within the material creation where one can be aloof or free from the influence of the time factor, as opposed to the spiritual realm, where birth, death, old age and disease are conspicuous by their absence, Prabhupada says, or Lord Brahma says. No birth, and so therefore the influence of time is not felt in the Vaikuntha realm. Not in terms of birth, death, old age and disease. So everyone is perturbed by the time factor, by the blazing fire coming from the mouth of the universal form. All the hosts of the demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them... So here's a good reason why the demigods shouldn't be understood as supreme. Right? If we look at this description. The demigods are worshipable, just in the sense that all devotees are worshipable. You know, when we meet the devotees, it's recommended that we treat them with respect. So when we meet somebody who chants Hare Krishna, how should we deal with them? How is it recommended? How does Rupa Goswami recommend that we deal with those who chant Hare Krishna?
You should offer respect to
Yes, we should be respectful to them. Offer pranams. You know, the basis of civilized social conduct is to be respectful to others. And in Kali Yuga, the level of relationship is what? The basic level of relationship in Kali Yuga is what? Quarrel. Yes, fighting. What are you doing that for? What's going on around here? Who do you think you are? Huh? Not very nice dealings with each other. What do you want? Why don't you shut up? Why don't you shut up? Sometimes, especially in the school holidays, when the kids are home, there's a house just down the road at the back of our house, and we hear the family yelling at each other like that. This is the standard of relationships. But the basis of civilized is respect. It's just to be respect. What to speak of loving and affectionate. Of course, sometimes yelling and shouting is a manifestation of love and respect. Sometimes. Affection, at least. What was my point going to be? I forgot now. Oh yes, how to treat devotees. Yep. We should be respectful. If they're initiated, in other words, they're sadhakas, adhering to the practice of sadhana bhakti, then how are we recommended to approach them? What does Rupa Goswami say? Offer obeisances. So what does that mean? What does it mean when we offer obeisances?
Gratitude.
Yes, but what does it mean? What do we do? Bow down, put our head on the floor. For those devotees who are... for those who are pure, elevated souls, the uttam bhaktas, what's the recommendation for relationships with them? How we treat them?
Render service.
Render service. Yeah, render service. Inquire. Render service. Take advantage of their association, because we can take advantage of all devotees' association. But especially very advanced devotees, offer obeisances, bow down. So for the demigods, we should be their advanced, elevated devotees. Like, and because of their advancement, they are like God. But they're also servants of God in relationship. Not even because of their advancement, then they've been given special powers to be utilized or to be used on behalf of God. Just like the spiritual master. The spiritual master is meant to be worshipped as good as God, but that doesn't mean that he is God. That's a fallacy. And sometimes we see that, you know, the guru is worshipped as if he is God and treated as God and thought to be as, you know, God. So the worship then becomes worship of the guru and not worship of Krishna anymore. In India you see these odd manifestations of these basic principles, but without proper understanding. And so then, you know, speaking of superimposing one's head, there's one Baba in Vrindavan who his followers think that he's an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. Right? So there are some ISKCON pictures in his temple of Lord Chaitanya, but they've taken out the painting's picture of Lord Chaitanya. They've got his head on the picture. That's dangerous. It didn't do Jimi Hendrix any good. We won't mention any names, lest we offend anybody. But this is, you know, the servant of God, even though he may become empowered or very powerful as a result of his service, he shouldn't think that he's more elevated than he actually is, that actually I'm just a very small, insignificant servant of the Lord. And we see this in the pastimes. Lord Brahma, Indra, you know, they, in Krishna Leela, they get bewildered sometimes. And they think, and especially it's very bewildering because here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing as a little boy, just playing with his friends, and they're in these big positions, controlling the universal affairs. There's a demigod who's controlling all of the blinking of everybody. So very powerful position. The movements and so forth. Prabhupada says it here. Even the minutest part of a living being is controlled by the empowered agency of the Lord. Since the demigods are included in the gigantic form of the Lord, worship of the Lord, whether in his gigantic material conception or in his eternal transcendental form as Lord Sri Krishna, also appeases the demigods and all the other parts and parcels, as much as watering the root of a tree distributes energy to all of the tree's other parts. So, we don't have to worship the demigods separately from Krishna. If we're worshipping, even Prabhupada says here, the universal form, because by worshipping this conception of the universal form, and in previous purports, Prabhupada mentions, with a service attitude. You know, not that we look at the material creation and think, oh yes, and there is this kind of mentality in some religious systems that the manifestation of the Lord is this material creation and it's meant to be here for our enjoyment. No, it's meant to be used for the Lord's service. That's how you properly enjoy, in connection with the Supreme. So when we worship the Lord, either through his universal form, and of course we don't, but this is the beginning of self-realization for those who have a materialistic conception of the creation. And certainly for those who worship the Lord directly in his transcendental, eternal transcendental form as Krishna, then automatically our relationship with the demigods is properly established. They're servants of the Lord, we're servants of the Lord. They're very elevated servants of the Lord, and so therefore we should honour them and respect them, just as we honour and respect the spiritual master. But we should see them in their relationship with Krishna, just as we should see the spiritual master in relationship with Krishna. That he is Krishna's empowered representative, and that by following his instructions. And basically, what does the spiritual master say? The spiritual master says, don't serve me, serve Krishna. Serving the instruction of the spiritual master is as good as serving Krishna, because the spiritual master says, serve Krishna. That's what he teaches. The spiritual master teaches us. And that's why we respect the spiritual master, because the spiritual master establishes us in our relationship with the Lord. In the mood of service. So we can see, especially here, all the hosts of the demigods are surrendering unto you, are before you, and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings crying, all peace, are praying to you by singing the Vedic hymn, Swasti. Oh, Swasti. Swasti. And the demigods are crying, Pahi, Pahi. Which means, protect us. That's it, there's that prayer that Lord Chaitanya would chant. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Pahi Mam. Right? Pahi Mam. Protect me. This is how we can understand. The demigods are dependent. And they're going to be killed too, just like us. Inevitably. We're all going to be destroyed in the blazing fire of the Kala Rupa. All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, this is in the Bhagavad Gita, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Sajas, the Vishvadevas, the two Ashvis. Yeah, this is the Nasatyadasro, which is the Ashvini Kumaras, who are mentioned in this verse. The Maruts, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the Asuras and the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder. O mighty armed one, all the planets with their demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs, bellies, and your many terrible teeth. And they are disturbed. And as they are disturbed, so am I. So Arjuna's relationship is changing from astonishment to now fear. O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colours touching the sky, your gaping mouths and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. This is what happens when one has to face death. And you know, why are we scared of death? Because death is anathema to us. We're eternal. But because we're forced by our karma and by the laws of nature to have to change bodies, and because we relate so much to this body, right, simultaneously one and different, we are this body, but we're not. The state of changing the body is a source of bewilderment. Right? And just as that was, it's a source of bewilderment for Arjuna, that bewilderment brings about fear. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Where am I going? We're in a culture or in a society that thinks that's the end. No wonder they're scared. This is the end. I don't exist anymore. But our nature is to be such a number. It's our nature, and natural. That's why there's so much fear of death, because it's so unnatural to us. We love life. Right? Everybody loves living. It's the nature of the soul. Prabhupada says, you know, because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna, and we love the soul, therefore we also love Krishna. An interesting logic that Prabhupada uses, I heard in a class just the other day. We're not in love with the body, actually. When the body falls down on the ground, Prabhupada explains, and the soul leaves, who's attracted to the body? No, we just throw it away, we burn it. We're not interested in the body, we're interested in the soul. That's what we love. We actually love the soul, not the body. Because as soon as the soul's gone, it's like, ew, disgusting. Right? 1 minute, we're all affectionate and concerned, and then when the soul is gone, ew, put it in a box. Cover it. get rid of it. So we're attracted to the soul. And why are we attracted to the soul? Because it's part and parcel of Krishna. But faced with death, one is perturbed. O Lord, I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind in that state. Dhiras tatra namuyati. One has to be very advanced, sober, steady, determined, patient, maintain enthusiasm. What is it? Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, bhajana anukula. If we want to make advancement in spiritual life, when we have to be enthusiastic. I was looking last night. Shuddha bhakata charana renu bhajana anukula. Right? I was touching the devotee's feet last night while they were paying their obeisances, and I think maybe this is a bit frivolous. But then I read that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he said, Shuddha bhakata charana renu, the dust of the lotus feet. So I thought, okay, all right. One wants to make advancement in spiritual life, and you take the dust of the feet of the devotees on your head. So one, you know, will be tested. Will be tested at the time of death, facing this blazing fire, and we'll see here the description. I could no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. But this is the quality of a devotee, is that even in very difficult circumstances like death, one remains sober. Dhiras tatra namuyati. The sober person is not bewildered by the change of bodies. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance, seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered. So, you know, at the end of creation, everything is burnt up by this fire. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also are rushing into your fearful mouths, and some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. As the many waves of the river flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays, inescapable and all-pervading. Right? This is the form of the Lord. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win glory. This is instruction for all of us, actually. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Subhasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So, the Bhagavatam has a relationship with the Bhagavad Gita in that it expands upon the basic teachings, and Prabhupada mentions here. Both of them are the science of Krishna, the absolute truth. The Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study for the student of the Bhagavad Gita. So we can appreciate this section of the Bhagavatam as being an expansion of the description of the Virat Purush. And we can take some of these lessons or instructions, especially this one that Prabhupada repeats very often, that the demigods are certainly empowered and important personalities. That's why they're called demigods. Demigods means like God. They have special potencies and powers, but we should understand from these descriptions that whilst they're empowered persons, they're still not better than or equal to, and if we consider them better than or equal to, that's an offence. We should see things in the right perspective. This is the purpose of studying the Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, is to see things from the right perspective. Understand the sambandha. Understand what's the relationship. When we understand what the relationship is, then we know how to act in that relationship. That's abhideya. And by acting in the right relationship with all of the everything within the creation, we act in the correct relationship as a servant of Krishna. That's the basis of all relationships. That's why respect is important. We should respect everybody because ultimately everybody is a servant of God. Some more empowered than others. We offer respect to the spiritual master because they're senior, elevated Vaishnavas. Just as the demigods are senior, elevated Vaishnavas and should be offered respect. But we shouldn't misconstrue or misappropriate the information and then treat them improperly outside of their correct relationship. That turns everything topsy-turvy. And we sometimes see that in the Vedic culture. There's worship of the demigods with the exclusion of the supreme, of their relationship, you know, so then Shiva or this one or that one is worshipped. We don't need to actually worship the demigods if we're worshipping Krishna. Krishna is the source of the demigods. And as we see here, the demigods, what is it? Pahi, Pahi, protect us. They're also praying to the Lord for protection. They're, you know, if they're the supreme, why are they praying to, when they see the universal form, why are they praying to the Lord? Ooh, help us. Because they're dependent also, as we are. So the Bhagavad Gita gives us the basic principles, the primer. But that information is expanded and developed into the full manifestation of these relationships and activities based on these relationships in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the beginning, where we're getting a fuller description of the Virat Purusha. That's just essentially the first step in God realization. We're travelling all the way through the Bhagavatam to the 10th canto of the work, the literary manifestation of the Lord, actually, wherein the perfection of all of these relationships and the full manifestation of love for Krishna, which is the result of serving him in the beginning as in the mode of servitor, but that develops into all of the different relationships that one can have with the Lord. That's fully manifest in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. We're at the beginning. But not that we're, you know, actually all of the instruction of the Bhagavatam is relevant. Maharaj Parikshit wasn't saying, you know, wasn't thinking, come on, let's get to the 10th canto. He was absorbed, and this is, you know, the devotees are absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita, even though it may not be, you know, it may be the introduction. Devotees fully absorbed in that. Matschita matkata pranabodayanta parasparam katyantascha mam nityam. Devotees like to talk about topics relating to Krishna. Whether it's this one or that one, they find them equally absorbing and instructive and inspiring. So we're gradually moving, you know, through the Bhagavatam. We're now starting the Bhagavatam again. To go through this expansion of the instructions that are given in the initially in the Bhagavad Gita, and you know, understanding the correct relationship between all of these items and the Supreme Lord. And so when we're worshipping Krishna, Prabhupada gives the example here, we don't need to worship the demigods, because if we're watering the root of the tree, then automatically the roots, the branches, the leaves, the twigs, the blossoms, the flowers, the fruits, they're all nourished. So similarly also the demigods, the elevated devotees, the not so elevated devotees, everybody is united and focused when our aim is one, that is, our aim is to serve and please Krishna. That's the ultimate relationship that we're being pointed towards. And then understanding that relationship, even in difficult circumstances, we'll remain steady and not bewildered. The beauty of understanding this transcendental knowledge is that when we are faced, you know, with the blazing fire of death, then we'll remain undisturbed. Dhiras tatra namuyati. That's why Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita. Why Sukadeva Goswami is speaking the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit is facing death. And when the snake bird bites him, then he's immolated, isn't it? Is that right? He burns up the poison from the snake bite. So this is how one remains sober at the time of death, by hearing these. That's the beginning. The beginning of devotional life is Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, always in relationship with Krishna, hearing topics about Krishna. That's why we regularly hear the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, so that we understand who we are, what our relationship is with the Lord, where we are going at the time of death. Prabhupada mentions that one can know where one's come from and know where you're going, and in that way be unbewildered. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Sriman.
When Arjuna saw the little fun.
Yes.
He was fearful.
Yep.
And at the same time, we see that when the Lord takes the message, they were Brahman Maharaj was not fearful, even though Brahma and Devi, then we watched the fearful.
Yep.
So what's the difference between these two, Visrupa and Ugra Rupa?
What's the difference? Well, once got the head of a lion, the other one's got many heads. Arjuna's natural relationship is as a Arjun Shaka, right? He's a friend. And so, and I guess Prahlad Maharaj saw Lord Nrisimhadeva as a friend, despite his ferocious form. He saw him as his pala, right, his protector. And so therefore, you know, for him, his relationship is one of affection and love and appreciation for the protection of the Lord, in which Prahlad Maharaj was very, very fixed. You know, Prahlad Maharaj is appreciated, recognized as which item of devotional service did Prahlad Maharaj perfect? Remembering. Right, yeah. Remembering. So he was fixed in his remembrance of the Lord. And as a result, you know, he's burned in oil, trampled by elephants, you know, bitten, threatened with poisonous snakes. You know, usually in those circumstances, you'd be fearful, trembling in your boots. Right? But he, thrown off a mountain, but he was equipoised. So, he, you know, his mood of service was such that he always felt the protection of the Lord, even in very difficult circumstances. So when he saw the ferocious, you know, Hiranyakashipu, when he saw Lord Nrisimhadeva, what happened? What did that ignite in Hiranyakashipu initially? Which rasa? Yeah, what else? Hiranyakashipu. Yeah, revenge, I guess. But what is that symbolic of? What rasa? Chivalrous, wasn't it? He was fighting with him. Okay, come on. What's later on when he got, you know, when he was beaten and Lord Nrisimhadeva tore his intestines out, then he's probably, you know, more fearful. But a very different relationship, you know, both of which bring pleasure actually to the Lord. You know, Lord Nrisimhadeva gets pleasure out of tearing Hiranyakashipu apart. You nasty demon. That's why actually Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha are actually Jaya and Vijaya, great devotees. But Arjuna was, you know, naturally Krishna's friend, and so, you know, to see the Lord in that form, very ferocious and all powerful and you know, terrifying for him. So it's not that the form is different in one sense, but depending on the relationship that the devotee has, you know, Hiranyakashipu wants to fight with the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj wants to offer prayers. Arjuna wants to, you know, relish, and you see that. He says, you know, show me your original form, and then he's pacified. So, depending on the relationship, the nature of the relationship, and the circumstance, then the response of the devotee will be different, or will be appropriate to that circumstance or situation. So for Prahlad Maharaj, he's seeing and feeling the protection of the Lord at all times, as a servant, as a surrendered servant, and Arjuna's natural affection and relationship with the Lord is one of a friend. And so seeing him in this frightening, scary feature disturbs that natural relationship that Arjuna might have with it. How's that sound? Anybody else might like to comment? So what's the difference?
Narasimha is the incarnation of Krishna. Vira Rupa is just imagined, it's not incarnation.
Well, that's a difference. Yeah. But when we say imaginary, it can't be fully imaginary because the Lord manifested and showed it to Arjuna. So it is a feature, but it's hard to have a relationship with the universal form. Right? Especially when he's munching everybody up. Like, whoa! You know, you can only have a fearful relationship with somebody who's about to eat you. Not, oh yes, I'll happily be your dinner. Alright, I think we should finish here, it's getting a bit late. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai.